I want to thank my guests for joining me in the studio this morning, Gorville Superintendent Steve Webb. First off, it's good to see you again, man.
Great to see you again, too.
Steve was just telling me, you know, if I didn't want you to call, I wouldn't have given you my phone number. I called him last week when I was going through and building notes for the day, and I saw you named Superintendent of the Year, and I was just happy. I mean, and why wouldn't I be? There are 865 other superintendents in the state of Illinois, and you won in Gorville.
Yes. There's 865 districts. Some superintendents are dual superintendents, like right. I was at Thompsonville. But it's an incredible honor, and I love it that I was able to do it in my hometown.
Yeah, I think that's pretty great. I did not know Thompsonville. So, teacher for 29, superintendent for 19?
I was a teacher for actually 1 year, and then they wanted me to be principal the next year. All so right. That was in 1992. I was basketball coach, athletic director, and biology teacher
in Thompsonville?
In Joppa. Yes.
You know, they talk about many hats. That's a lot of hats.
Well, the next year when they wanted me to be principal, the principal moved up to superintendent. I mean, that was the year that I called my dad and said, hey, they want me to be principal. I'm 23 years old. And he just basically said, you know, listen, you don't learn how to be a principal in class. You learn how to be a principal by being a good teacher. And I've used that throughout my entire career.
So, is education in your blood?
Yes, Dad was a teacher and a principal and athletic director and girls basketball coach at Gorville. And he was there for 31 years.
Yeah. So, like I said, I could ask you when you got your start. You got your start before you got your start, because you were looking at an example when you were a kid.
Well, you always ask kids, you know, what do you want to do when you grow up? And I was one of those that wanted to play sports. I wanted to play basketball.
Yeah, because I'll be honest with you, Steve, I've never grown up with someone in my peer group who says, I want to be a superintendent.
That's right.
Now, I've got people I grew up with said they wanted to be a teacher.
Certainly.
But superintendent doesn't really come top of mind.
Well, I didn't even start really wanting to just be a teacher. I wanted to be a coach. I wanted to be the full gambit of an individual to help mentor kids and help make them successful. And I've just tried to carry that with me.
Where did you see? Because a lot of times you don't see the desire for mentorship in people until they get older.
Well,
I mean, like my age, older.
You know, when you play sports and you excel at them, you love it, you see the camaraderie, you see the teamwork. It changes your perspective, I think, of how you look at an organization and how you look at others. Being a leader is about 10% leading and 90% learning. And I always want to be that learner as much as a leader.
You know, I've grown up around people like this, very fortunate, I think, in that respect. And, you know, I find it interesting because they say, look, and you've heard this, I'll bet. What we should be teaching is reading, writing, and arithmetic, right? But then you go, what about the football team? Oh, yeah, it's football, right? And I think the reason why is, and they do, they want fundamentals. A lot of parents, and I know you've heard that speech at some point. We
Certainly.
All have. But they see the value in making great young people because they've had something to do with sports and team play, that there is something of genuine educational value. I mean, I wouldn't argue with it. I'd put it right up there at the top of the list.
Certainly.
But some others wouldn't.
No, I get that. They don't may not understand what happens, with all of those practices, but that's at school. Let's think about what a child does in their spare time if they're not involved in some type of extracurricular that motivates them, something that intrinsically motivates a child. I think that's our job as adults, as parents, to try to figure out what that inside fire is in their belly and try to cultivate that. But we don't do that if we're just teaching rote reading and we're just teaching, you know, math and Common Core math and concentrating on that.
And here's a test and you do well on the test.
That's right. I think standardized testing is one of the worst things that's happened to schools. I think vocational education is taking a back seat and it should be in the front seat.
You know, when you get to a town the size of Gorville, and here's the thing I like about Gorville. Gorville is aware of itself and takes pride in itself in a way that I think other communities may not, especially smaller communities. Parental involvement, a winning athletic team, a sense of pride in the school. I've seen all those. And what's interesting is I literally have people, I know my Gorville people on the text line. I think you've got a special community. I think that might have had some real impact when it comes to Superintendent of the Year.
Well, I got Superintendent of the Year, but because they don't make a Community of the Year award. They don't make they don't make awards to recognize that it takes so many different cogs in that wheel to be able to make things work, especially in a community that is so small like Goreville. I mean, our community was totally supportive of going back to school in this pandemic, totally supportive of our children getting all the experiences that we could pull off. And, with that comes the responsibility from us is trying to figure out how to do that, not just give them experiences, but do it safely.
It was interesting because when it came to the Superintendent of the Year, and Steve has mentioned this a couple, three times, pandemic response, but that was included in the criteria for Superintendent of the Year, along with academic achievement, social-emotional support, teaching and instruction, equity strategies, and leadership and how students are prepared for the future. I think that list also gives people an insight of school has grown well beyond reading, writing, and getting the basketball team to the tournament on time. You've become an important social liaison to the students, whether it's food or emotional support. The role of an educator over the time that you've changed over the last 29 years, right?
It's
changed a lot.
Absolutely.
That social component, I think, being the biggest?
Well, with the advent of technology, kids do a great job at separating themselves from society as it is. We as a school need to bring them in and teach them how to interact with each other socially to understand that there's a lot of information out there. You just have to find the right information and be able to understand how to dissect that information and how to unpack all of these different components, because technology today are snippets of small information. Those children bring that snippet of society in with them, and we have to teach them the larger picture.
The background behind it. Yeah, I can see that. We do. We think in memes.
Absolutely, in tweets.
In slug lines, in tweets, right, which is not good for your attention span or having a true understanding of what the subject matter is.
Correct. That's why I think experiences are the number one thing that kids need, because they learn. I always say, they're not learning experiences. It's how all experiences you can learn from.
I know my dad was big. He says the best way to learn things is to travel. He was the guy who says you learn more on the road.
You know, we're learning things right now. We learn things about each other every time we get together.
Yeah.
It's how you use that data to shape your values, to shape what you do on your other waking hours.
And I can tell you, the interviews that I've done here had a profound effect on me, especially the ones with teachers, by the way.
Absolutely.
So, which one's the good teacher? The teacher that flunks a lot of people or the teacher that passes a lot of people?
Well, a good teacher is much more than grades. A good teacher is somebody that walks in the classroom and loves all of their children and wants to nurture them and make them successful. A good teacher hears them out. A good teacher understands when they're distressed. A good teacher knows how to respond to that distress and help that child in whatever endeavor that they've got. A good teacher knows their children.
I heard the word patience when you just said that. Teachers need patience. That's how I unpack that. Isn't that interesting? Because, and maybe it's because when I look at that going, that's a tall task. And kids, you know, now, you know, when they're 8, they're 35. Or
you know,
think they are.
You know, and that's the problem, is this divide on the children and their experiences is getting, that gap is getting wider, because some kids that grow up in poverty don't grow up around all this data and this fast internet and this instant information and being able to Google everything you need to know. And so they come into the same place, and we need to help figure out a way to close that gap.
You've already been working on this, Steve.
Absolutely.
And what have you been doing?
Well, we started a one-to-one initiative several years ago to make sure that when they walk through our doors, they get the state-of-the-art technology, the same one that everybody else has.
Right.
So that way, whenever they go to their desk, they're seeing the exact same state-of-the-art technology. They're seeing the same, the fastest internet possible to understand what is out there, to get them aspirations of wanting to have that.
You know, I find it interesting. I interpret as, and I think it's because I was reading this detailed report, Tunnel Hill, and the superintendent numbers, the stuff you have to break out on an Excel sheet for poverty, what percentage of poverty, how their grades are. I went down the rabbit hole one of these days, and I'm reading a complete report. Fortunately, it was a small school, Tunnel Hill. but it was like, I'm like, how does a superintendent get all this done? They know the parents, they know how much they make, they see their grades based on these things and difference. And I always got this idea of a superintendent sits in their desk doing Excel forms and money all the day. And while you, on the other hand, have repeated this at least 2-3 times since you and I began talking, I'm a teacher first. Matter of fact, I think there's a plaque to that effect on your desk.
Yes, there is.
I wonder, more and more I think about this, maybe if we all thought we were teachers all the time, that might really change the world.
Well, if you let's just say you get 8 hours of sleep a day, that's a little over 5,000 waking hours that a child would have in a year's time. Schools get them for less than 1,000, 900 hours, around 900 hours. We get those children in our classrooms, in our hallways, in our facilities. In that time, we have to not only figure out how to help those children in that limited amount of time, but also work with those parents to let them understand this learning does not stop when those children walk out of our doors. The learning continues at home, and we want to work with those parents to make sure that we are a continuous learning paradigm that those children never forget. We are working together for them.
Yeah, and the problem is kids are really all about themselves, I think. That's a hard message. I mean, and the reason why I'm saying that is not from anything I've seen or learned from you, Steve. My own personal experience, that I did not have a real grasp of that. I probably started getting in my late 20s to a certain extent, but the last 20, 30 years in particular, I've started seeing and understanding that a whole lot of people put a whole lot of effort into me and didn't expect anything back. And I look back on those people, and I'm like, wow, how lucky was I? But you don't see it until later. So when they were trying to help me at the time, I wasn't always cooperative as I could have been.
I understand, and I don't believe in luck. I believe the decisions you make determines the path that you take. And the fact that I took the path to be a teacher means I took the path of getting paid to be a parent to so many children in our community for generations. So I am the one that's blessed to be able to do this and be able to make a living for my family while trying to help children in our entire community.
While at the same time, understanding that the world has changed so much that you have to look at campus safety in a way that we never imagined we would have to. And this is another thing that you've taken very seriously in Gorville, made every attempt to make sure your students are safe, resource officers and the like. This is a new item on the list of every teacher and superintendent on their plate, school security.
Sure. I mean, we've worked with children in their mental issues for so many years with counselors and social workers. This school safety continuum, and the school resource officers is just a small part of school safety. I became a school resource officer, a police officer in 2010 because we tried to get school resource officers in our facility many times in a rural district. Response times are limited. But we didn't just want somebody to be there on response. We wanted people that were there to help prevent these incidents from happening. And to do that, you need to understand your children. You need to see their children. You need to talk to the children. You need to understand the baggage that they're bringing in with them. And I think as schools, the larger schools that don't understand who their kids are, they don't even know their names, I think that creates a gap in what you can do in school safety that small schools can do much better, I think.
Right. So what's the biggest challenge in the future for education, not just for you, but anywhere in the state of Illinois? You've got these years of experience, Steve. Steve Webb's joining us, Gorville superintendent, who's also been named superintendent of the year. What's the biggest challenge going forward?
The biggest challenge is going to be the teacher shortage, and that's going to go into the being a principal's challenge, a principal shortage, and a superintendent shortage. People are not going into this profession largely because it's not funded like other professions. The retirement has changed where that's no longer an added benefit for going into teaching and taking that lower salary. And we're seeing a real issue with trying to find those subject matter teachers right now, and that's only going to hurt kids.
Steve Webb, our guest this morning, when he was named the superintendent of schools, there was a joint conference. They threatened him upon pain of death not to tell anybody he'd become superintendent of the year, but he finally, eventually, it was okay to be able to announce this. And this was announced at the Illinois Association of School Boards, the Illinois Association of School Business Officials, and the Illinois Association of School Administrators in Chicago's joint conference this year. And so, and I mean this when I say congratulations, Steve.
Thank you so much.
I'm really excited about this. I've like I said, it took me a little longer than maybe it should have to come to a realize how many people put effort into a child. And I'm thinking about myself in this particular case at a young age on faith that this is going to work and this guy, this girl is going to become a valuable part of our community. I remember those teachers that had an impact on me. I can't thank them enough. So when I'm thinking with you, there's probably a lot of kids out there right now that look back and think, wow, I was lucky. I just didn't know it at the time.
That's what gets me about standardized testing. You can't judge a child's education, a child's life, by some paper test that they take on one day. You can't evaluate that. And many times you can't even evaluate the impacts that you've had on children. But when you have somebody come back and they want their children to grow up in your community and they want their children to go to your school district and they tell you, I came back here because of that school district, you know you've impacted that child because they want their family to go through that same experience. That's what matters to me.
Yeah, and then I would want my kids to have the same experience, and I don't know if I could do that right now, today. I don't know that I could. Let me ask you one final question before I let you go. From the outside looking in, it appears it's never been harder than now to be a kid. You think?
Well, I mean, let's be clear. When we were bullied in school, and bullying has been and will always be there, we were able to leave that school, we were able to leave church or wherever we were at and get away from that bully. Bullying is now, with technology, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Very difficult to establish yourself in a niche these days because that niche never leaves you. So I think, again, going back to the data and making sure children understand good data, it's also making good friends and understanding what's a friend and what's not a friend. So socially, it is much different, much more difficult. But educationally, we're providing them so much more than what I had when I graduated Goreville. There's just so many more opportunities for our children these days, and we continue to try to add sports. We continue to try to add vocational classes and anything we can do to try to help them succeed. And I think that's going to pay huge dividends for these kids going forward.
Superintendent of the Year, Goreville, Steve Webb. Steve, as always, good to see you.
Thank you so much, Tom.
And congratulations.
Thank you.
841.